I know I'm so soft-spoken. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 24. God wants to get something in our hearts today. How many know that God always wants to get something and deposit something in our hearts? You know, Jeremiah was giving a vision in Jeremiah chapter 24. In front of the temple, he saw two baskets. And both baskets were full of figs. One basket was good, and the other basket was evil. Amen? And in the natural, when you see this picture, in the natural, you would see that those that were taken into captivity would have been for their harm, but it was actually the ones that weren't taken into captivity that God's going to bring judgment on, and he's protecting the ones that went into captivity. So sometimes it doesn't look like we think it should look. In other words, when we say that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that call according to his purpose, it doesn't always necessarily mean it feels good when it happens. So if you look with me in Jeremiah 24, verse number 5. And this is, he's speaking towards the good figs, the ones that are in captivity to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar. And he says in verse number 5, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. For I will set my eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and pull them, will not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up, and I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I'll be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And as for the evil figs, which cannot be eaten, they are so evil, surely thus saith the Lord, so will I give Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and his princes, and the residue of Jerusalem that remain in this land, and them that dwell in the land of Egypt, and I will deliver them to be removed into the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb and a taunt and a curse in all the places whither I shall drive them. And I will send the sword and famine and the pestilence among them till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers. In other words, God says he's separated them for their good. You know, the Lord was reminding me, just as Jesus in Matthew 25 gave the parable of the 10 virgins. He said 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 were good and 5 were evil. And God separated them in the day. So today, the Lord wants to speak to us out of verse number 7. He said, and I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with all their heart, with their whole heart. And the title of this message this morning is Getting Back on Track. You know, it's kind of interesting that how the adversary brought the COVID in to separate, to divide the body of Christ. And it's kind of amazing. Just for example, I'm just going to use this for example. On Wednesday nights here, we used to have about 40 to 50 people here on Wednesday nights. And since COVID came, we may have 20 maybe to 25 people here on Wednesday nights. Amen. What's the difference? What happened? You know, the adversary brought something to divide or separate the body of Christ. Amen. And fear came in, and we don't have the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Amen. I'm not afraid of no COVID. Amen. And if the COVID shall get me and I shall die from the COVID, praise God, I'll be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to go some way, so it doesn't matter how I go. And God ain't going to let me go till it's my time to go. Amen. Amen. You can't take me. No one can take me till God says that's his time. Because the Bible says there's appointed a time for man wants to die and then the judgment. Hallelujah. So God wants us to be encouraged in the Lord. Amen. We're men and women of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. If we're looking at all the news reports and we're reading all the newspaper, our faith is dwindling so that we don't have any faith whatsoever. But the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as God's word goes forth, our faith increases. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm going to look at three things that the Lord did, even to the ones that he let go into captivity to protect. One was to renew. Second was to reunite. And the third was to return. Amen. So let's ask God's blessing upon the preaching and teaching of his word. I just do those RRR. Are you ready for it? Here it comes. RRR. Okay, I'm corny. What can I say? Let's ask God's blessing upon the preaching and teaching of the word. Father, we're so grateful for your word. And we're grateful that you sent it here today to accomplish something in every heart and every life. Father, I know that you have a plan and purpose in each and every one that's gathered here, whether it's in the sanctuary or the ones that will listen later on the website, Father God, that you have a plan and a purpose for every last one of us. And as your word goes forth today, may it accomplish what you send it to do. But for each and every one of us, may our ears be open and our heart receptive to what you have to say to each and every one of us today. And when all is said and done, all glory and honor and praise will be unto you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, sometimes when we see, even in our text today, when God is allowing some of the children of Israel to go into captivity, that he was protecting them. And in the natural eyes, if you looked at that, you would say it wasn't for their good. Sometimes God allows things to happen in our lives to protect us. And sometimes we don't see his hedge of protection. We don't see how the enemy was trying to come in to completely destroy us, and God protected us because he gave us life in the abundance thereof. So the first thing he says is to renew. He said in our text, I'll give them a heart to know me. There's a renewing of the heart. I love it where the prophet Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse number 19, and here's one thing I want to get in your hearts and minds today. In verse number 19, he says, and I will give them one heart. Underline that in your Bible, one heart. As children of God, we're united together, one heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. Look at your neighbor and say, thank God for the Holy Spirit. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. In other words, he's going to renew, he renews our hearts. In other words, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, because before my heart was hard, and now he's softened my heart. And he softened your heart. And he's opening our hearts to be receptive and open to what God's will and purpose for our lives. Once the heart was changed, verse 20, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Amen. God will guide and direct us. Our steps have been ordered by the Lord. Amen. He has a plan and a purpose for every life of every individual. Amen. He hasn't finished with you. He's doing a work in our lives. He's transforming us. He's telling us now, even in the midst where we're facing, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And what God is saying there to you and I is, He's created me a good heart, O Lord, and renewed the right spirit within me, that we have the mind of Christ and we operate according to His word. No matter what the doctor says, no matter what report we receive, I will believe the report of the Lord. Amen. The adversary is constantly trying to steal, to kill, and destroy, but God came to give us life in the abundance thereof. Amen. So we look at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. We're to renew our hearts. I love this as the parable of the seed. Verse number 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Sometimes you share the gospel and you pray for someone and immediately the devil comes and steals that soul before they ever got a chance. Amen. I didn't say it, Jesus said it. Amen. If Jesus said it, God said it. If God said it, it's the truth. Jesus said, we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. He said, they on the rock, or the stony hearts, are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root, which for a while believe, in the time of temptation fall away. Wasn't this sort of what God was doing with the children of Israel when they let them go into captivity to Babylon? They were protecting their hearts that they weren't influenced by their brothers that really weren't serving Him. They weren't influenced by brothers and sisters that were drawing them back into the world. And all the words they were saying, things that didn't align with the word of God. And they were thinking, well, these are men of God speaking. But not every man of God speaking is speaking the truth. Amen. I tell you what, one thing you could always judge it by, if it doesn't align with the word of God, it's not from God. Right. Amen. It doesn't align with the word, that God isn't bringing a new revelation. God isn't bringing a new word. He says, I'm the Genesis through Revelations and everything in between. I'm not giving you something that you haven't already been written or spoken, that's been prophesied. Now that doesn't mean that things still aren't happening. That doesn't mean the revelation still isn't coming. But God is saying that He is God and He changes not. He says that that which fell on the thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which are in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Amen. Amen. Hey, let me say something to you. There's no one that's planted a garden at their house that doesn't have patience to wait to its time to harvest it. If you have a tomato plant that hasn't produced tomatoes, you're not going to go and try to pick the tomatoes off of a plant that has not produced yet. You have patience for it. And what God wants to say to some of you today, there is things that you're hoping for, that you're asking the Lord for, and the Father says, have patience for it. For in the perfect time I'll bring it to pass, but don't grow weary and well doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not, or you don't give up. Amen. Just like in that garden when you're waiting for your crop to come, you're not giving up on the crop because you don't see it. Right? We use a tomato plant and they don't have to be red tomatoes or orange tomatoes or yellow tomatoes. They can be green tomatoes because some people like fried green tomatoes. Hallelujah. I'm just saying. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You're not going in your corn. I got corn. I know that. But you're not going to go and pull the corn if it hasn't tasseled, if it isn't ripe and ready to eat. If you try to eat corn that's not ripe, it doesn't do it, benefits you nothing. It's just gnawing nothing. Amen. In other words, God's timing is perfect. Amen. Just as he's telling the children of Israel, you're in captivity, but it's for your good. It's not for your harm. Be patient, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Rather, you're seeing the harvest of the ones you're sharing God's love with. Rather, you're seeing the harvest of the ones you're sharing God's word with. It doesn't matter. The apostle said, one sows and another waters. And God gives the increase. Sometimes you will be the sower. Sometimes you'll be the waterer. Sometimes you'll be the harvester. And we all rejoice together because we all had part in the harvest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the Apostle Paul said in the Colossians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Verse number 1. The apostle says this, verse 9. He says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with all the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. So, first, he says to renew their hearts. Secondly, to reunite. To reunite. And the prophet Hosea said in Hosea chapter 6, verse number 1. He said, come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he shall raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning. He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain upon the earth. And when you have the former rain, you have the seed planting rain that brings forth the bud. And then you have the harvest rain at the end. I believe there's a great and mighty harvest of souls that is coming. And God's calling us to reunite in the body of Christ so that we can stand in union. Blessed are they that dwell together in unity. Blessed are they that dwell together in unity. Psalms 133. Blessed are they that dwell together in unity. It's like the oil that ran down the head, through the beard, to the shoulders, to the skirts, and there God invoked or invert the blessing. Amen. In other words, when we come together in unity and we come into agreement, there's all of a sudden something that we can do that the world can't do because the world can't agree on nothing. Amen. And if we're following the world, we'll never agree on anything. But on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. We're agreeing on that. Amen. We're agreeing on that. Amen. So as to agree as touching anything they ask, it shall be done for them of thy Father which is in heaven. Amen. Hey, come on now. There's power of in agreement. Why do you think the adversary doesn't want us to agree on anything? Why do you think he wants us to be separated? Because he knows what happens when we get united together. When we get united together, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up, we shall condemn, because we'll speak the word of God against it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Jesus told you and I in this reuniting in John chapter 8. Some of this stuff might even preach. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, which one? To what? To which Jews? To the Jews that believed in him. Amen. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I don't even know if he's alive anymore. I don't even watch news, so I don't know. Walter Cronkite, is he still around? I don't know. That might have been the last time I watched news. Is he still around? No, he's not. Okay. Amen. I'm not worried about what Walter Cronkite has to say. I'm worried about what God has to say. Amen. And what the world has to say, if it doesn't align with the word of God, I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to receive it. Amen. Amen. Because you know what? I shared it with you before. We're heavenites here on earth. We're children of God. Amen. Yet, you know what that makes us? It makes us a chosen generation.
That's right.
A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him that called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, who at one time were not a people, but now are the people of God, who at one time had not retained mercy, but now we've obtained his mercy and his grace and his love. Amen. So Jesus tells us in John chapter 17, verse number 3. Jesus said, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. I just don't need to believe in Jesus, but I got to believe in God. Amen. Amen. I believe in God. I get my salvation through the Son. But I believe. We had a discussion the other day. I want to say this. You know, Jesus said, all things were created by me. Without me was not anything made that was made. All things were created. God, the creator, is who we serve. All the other little gods, their creation, not the creator. Amen? And he says, don't worship the creation, worship the creator. Amen? We have the only God. All the other gods are little g's. They're not the big G. They're the little g. And we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We serve the one that fills the atmosphere. He's not just sitting in one place at one time. He fills the entire atmosphere. Hallelujah. Amen. He misses nothing. He sees everything. Those things that you do in secret, he'll reward you openly, because he never misses anything. So he said, and Jesus Christ, who thou hast sent, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So when I was looking at this, now he's going to say that he's to renew our hearts, to reunite, and also to return. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. Let me say this to you for your understanding. I don't tithe because I have to. I count it a privilege. Amen. To honor God in His Word, and He blesses me. He blesses me. He opens up the windows of heaven, and He pours me out blessings. And Malachi 3:7, even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me even in this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Here's the key. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. I don't know about you, but with me since 1997, when I gave my heart to the Lord, I'm a faithful giver. Amen. I give openly. I give secretly. I sow seed everywhere. I'm a seed sower. Amen. One thing God has showed me, that I can't outgive Him, and He's the giver of all things. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm not only blessed with finances, but I'm blessed with health. I'm blessed with well-being. I'm blessed with peace. I'm blessed with joy. I'm blessed with a family. I'm blessed with grandchildren. I'm blessed with a wife that's the most wonderful woman in the entire world. Amen. I'm super blessed. Honey, there ain't nobody any super wife in the world than you to me. Amen. That doesn't mean you're the super duper one to everyone else, but you're the one that God gave me, and I'm grateful for it. Hallelujah. Amen. Even when I act like a booger sometime, I'm thankful that you still love me anyway. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. That was a Holy Ghost move. She winked with both eyes. Do you understand what he is saying? He is saying, if we bring our tithes into the store, guess what? If you're a part of this church, this is your storehouse. Walmart isn't the storehouse. Costco isn't the storehouse. This is your storehouse. You know why this is your storehouse? This is where God's connected you, and this is God's brought you to feed and come together as a body. Amen? And we all have a part. Amen? And we're all connected together. Amen? And so he says here, not only did he talk about, I saw the privilege, but he also reminded me of something. He reminded me of the prodigal. He reminded me of the prodigal that wasted so much, but God restored him wholly. And here's what I want to say. In Luke chapter 15, go there a minute. I want to say this to you. No matter what you've done in the past, God says to you today that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Just as the prodigal took his living and wasted it on, the Bible says, riotous living. He wasted it on worldly things. He found himself in a place, he found himself in with the swine. He found himself in the pit. And verse number 20, the word of God says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for my son was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. God says to you today, no matter what the enemy has done for evil, God will turn around and use it for his glory. That place that you've been, that thing that you got caught up in, when God delivers you and brings you out of it, he'll use you to witness to someone else that is caught in the same thing, and you're a testimony in front of them. Look what the Lord has done. Amen. Look what the Lord has done. I don't know about you, but I ran. I was a rebel. I ran from God, and God used everything that the enemy has used against me. I'm sitting in front of addicts and people that are bound. I've been there. I had on that shirt, but God not only took the shirt off, he cleaned out my closet. Amen. I'm a new creation in him, and you're a new creation in him, and God could use everything the enemy meant for evil for his glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Just like that prodigal when he came to himself. Wait a minute. The prodigal had to come to himself to return to the father. And once the prodigal came to himself and returned to the father ran towards him and opened up the heaven and blessed him. Hallelujah. Look at the one next to you and said, God wants to bless you. God wants to bestow favor upon your life in a supernatural way. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. The Apostle Peter reminds us, for ye were past tense, as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. So in closing today, what is the Lord saying to us as he's calling us to get back on track? In Acts chapter 3, just like that prodigal, he asked us to repent. See, that prodigal had to come to himself to return to the Lord. And in verse number 19, he says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So in closing today, what is the Lord saying to us simply through this word today? God sent this word to renew our hearts, to reunite us as a body, so that we would return to our first love. And this comes by the act of repentance. One thing that God detests, when we do wrong and we know we do wrong, to justify it. But he just asks us to admit that we were wrong and ask for forgiveness. You know, Jesus put it like this in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. The door he's knocking on is the door of your heart. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. What the Lord says, not only he wants to, he's knocking on the door of our heart, But once we open the door of our heart, he wants to come into our house. And once we let him come into our house, he'll take away our habits. Amen? But it begins just asking him to come into your heart. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you call on him today? The choice is yours. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful that you sent it here to accomplish what you sent it to do in every heart. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus, or at one time you knew him, but you're not in the place you need to be, and you feel him knocking on your heart's door, would you slip up your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus. Is there anybody? I see that hand. You may put it down. Is there another here? Pastor, I'm not the place I need to be. Is that you? Is that you? Would you with me? Hallelujah. This is the most important decision you'll ever make. God didn't send his word into this house to judge anyone. God sent his word to minister grace because he loves and cares for each and every one of you so much. He hasn't separated the baskets yet. He wants to declare you as good fruit. So with this in mind, can we pray this together? And whether you raise your hand or not, it's immaterial. It isn't about a hand being raised. God ministers to hearts. And if you say this prayer and you mean it with your whole heart, he said he was calling for them to return with their whole heart. If you mean it with your whole heart, God is faithful. So can we pray together? Dear Jesus, come into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. I acknowledge that you died on the cross, you arose from the grave, you paid the penalty for my sins, you purchased me a place in heaven. Father, forgive me my sins. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul and making me whole. Now, Father, my body now is your temple. Take residence within me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.